Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Our thanks to Adams Road Band for that musical introduction. Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today is Sharon Lindblom, my colleague at MRM. And as I introduced her yesterday, Sharon runs our blog site. Our blog site is called Mormon Coffee. You can get to it by simply going to mormoncoffee.org, or there is a link to the blog from our main webpage at mrm.org. Yesterday, we were talking about this recent case of two Mormon activists, as they've been described. The two activists would be John DeLynn and Kate Kelly, and for different reasons, they have been threatened with excommunication by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And yesterday we were talking about whether or not the church really has a right to do so, because there seems to be an attitude in some religious circles that there really shouldn't be any type of authority guiding the church, and that people within an organization should be free to do pretty much whatever they want without any discipline charges being brought against them. And certainly, as we demonstrated yesterday, that is not a New Testament concept. The Apostle Paul certainly made it very clear that if someone was behaving unseemly or behaving in a way that is not supported by the New Testament, that certainly the church has the authority and really has the duty to correct that, hopefully to bring the persons back into right standing and right behavior. Now, this controversy stems, well, at least reached headlines when it came out in the New York Times back on June 11, 2014. It was an article titled, Two Activists in Mormon Church Threatened with Excommunication. Now, Sharon, you wrote a blog on this, found on Mormon Coffee, titled Mormon Church Kicks the Beehive. Why don't you kind of explain to our listeners what that article was all about? Because this is a hot topic in Utah, maybe not so much outside of the boundaries of Utah, but I can tell by reading various Mormon blog sites, this is catching the attention of a lot of members of the LDS Church. They're a little bit nervous about this because this happened before, way back in 1993, with a group known as the September Six, as they were called, where the Mormon Church did come in and they got rid of six members of the church that were raising issues that the church was not too happy about. But what was this case about?
Well, this particular instance is two very popular Mormon bloggers. John DeLynn is a Mormon blogger and runs Mormon Stories podcast, where he interviews ex-Mormons or current Mormons, but on very controversial sort of topics that maybe raise some questions about whether the church is acting appropriately or believing appropriately in certain stances of things that they take.
So we would say that John is discussing topics that would probably not be faith-promoting. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, probably okay. Not. Probably all not. Right. When it, you know, doctrinal, historical, and cultural issues that he talks about.
So he gets listeners to actually think about what they're thinking about.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And to kind of, and to question maybe a little bit why they do certain things certain ways and if they align themselves with the church on that. He, of course, is a Mormon and, or at the time of this recording, he is a Mormon still and is wants to remain Mormon, he says. Kate Kelly is another person who has been facing church discipline. It was a Mormon woman who is the founder of Ordained Women, who this group seeks to maybe bring to the forefront the idea that the Mormon priesthood should not be restricted to just men. It should also include women. And they are advocating not so much that the church change their policy on that, but that they seek God's leading on that, to ask why or if Mormon women could have the priesthood.
Well, because she's of the opinion that there isn't really anything written in stone that it should only be for men, even though the precedent in the Mormon church is that it was always just for men.
Right. There is evidence, though, that women in Joseph Smith's day, back in the 1840s, were practicing, they were doing healings and they were doing anointings and they were doing things that today is just associated with men in the priesthood in the Mormon Church. Because women have at one time been able to do those things. Ordained women is saying, well, why can't we do it today? Where's the scriptural or the revelational evidence or direction that we can't, that women can't have the priesthood? And recently, a church spokeswoman, Allie Isom, was interviewed, and she was pressed, you know, where is this written? And she admitted it is not written anywhere. So basically, it's a policy. It's not a doctrine. And that's why they're advocating for, let's get this nailed out. What does God, from the Mormon perspective, what does God say about women in the priesthood?
And basically, as Allie Isom was not able to produce a verse, and that's really what they're looking for. Give us something that we can look at. What does it really say?
Right.
And if you cannot do that, then you need to look into this a little bit more, and maybe down the road there would be a change in policy. But one thing that Kate Kelly did that I think is what's causing her a lot of grief is she embarrassed the church.
Yes.
Because she's not just saying a few things on a blog site somewhere that nobody reads. She actually caused quite a controversy during General Conference when she had a lot of her followers, or those in the Mormon Church that agree with her position, actually staged, I guess the church would look at it as a protest, in wanting to be admitted into a priesthood meeting that only allows males.
Right.
There's one thing you don't do in the Mormon Church, folks. You don't embarrass the Mormon Church. That usually will bring down the hammer on you. If you disagree with them and you go public with your disagreement and you embarrass the church leadership in any way, you can be sure that they're probably going to take notice of that and they're not going to be too happy about this. Now, one of the things that you wrote in your blog was that Kelly doesn't think that she should be charged with any type of apostasy.
I'll read what she said, quote her. She said, "I think the charge of apostasy is wholly unfounded. I've never said anything against the leaders of the church. I've never said anything negative about any of the Lord's anointed. I've never taught any doctrines, let alone false doctrines. The only sins I'm guilty of is telling the truth and living authentically and having sincere questions. If those are apostasy, I'm guilty. But I don't view those to be apostate acts."
Now, why do you think that would cause a lot of concern among some of the, well, I guess the more intellectual members of the LDS Church? Because there are a lot of bloggers that are coming to Kate Kelly's defense,
right,
coming to John DeLynn's defense.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think that would cause concern?
Well, I think, you know, the being branded an apostate for asking questions or for looking into historical issues and trying to sort through them, you know, these are Mormons who still adhere to church doctrine. They still support and sustain their leaders, and they still want to be in the church. They still, Kate Kelly anyways, believes it all, but she sees some inconsistencies. And so to be branded an apostate for recognizing that somebody somewhere higher than her in authority might be making some mistakes, that's kind of a scary thing when you're unable to question or draw things to leadership's attention when you see something that doesn't conform to what you think Mormon scripture teaches.
And that might surprise a lot of people that there are Mormons who are raising these kind of issues, because how many times have we talked to the average Latter-day Saint on the street or in an email, and it doesn't seem to matter what we bring up? It's like, well, if the leader said it, I believe it. So folks, don't think that there's only that type of Mormon in the Mormon Church. There are a lot of Latter-day Saints who are raising questions. They're raising them on various blog sites. In fact, I like to peruse these blog sites. I like to just sit down and go through and read and see what they are saying among themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's quite telling that there are some thinkers out there, but at the same time, they're still tend to be like her, still loyal to the system.
Right.
Okay. I don't know. I guess my understanding of Mormonism, it's kind of like the old adage, when the leaders speak, the thinking has been done for you. I mean, that is actually what they taught at one time. They still kind of do. So she has these questions. She doesn't think she's really crossed any line other than raising the issue.
Right.
Do you see the church listening to her and eventually changing it?
No, I don't.
Okay. What about the fact that they allowed a woman to pray at General Conference? That never happened before. So maybe there is a slight crack somewhere? Or do you think the church is kind of patronizing them? Well, we'll give them that bone, yeah, and that's about as far as we'll go.
I think it's an appeasement, trying to give them some hope that maybe things are moving, and help, that they would back off a little bit, that the ordained women group and supporters would back off.
But they certainly didn't back off. And no. In fact, I remember seeing one picture, and I think it was Kate Kelly standing near the door as this young man was walking past her into the priesthood meeting. And I thought, wow, that's a pretty intimidating look. It seemed like all these women were giving these little boys as they were walking by. That had to be somewhat intimidating for them. But they did get the attention of the church, there's no doubt. And it remains to be seen if that's ever going to change. I tend to agree with you. I don't really think that that's going to be something that the Mormon church is going to change. Now, the reorganized Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Community of Christ, as they're known now, they did change that.
Right.
They do allow women to hold the priesthood. Now, of course, the Mormons would look at that as just one more sign that the Community of Christ is apostate.
Yes.
Now, John DeLynn's case, I think, is, in my opinion, a little bit different. We do have scripture that talks about this. Now, even though the scripture that talks about same-sex marriage or homosexual activity is in the Bible, and I know they'll say they believe the Bible as far as it's translated correctly. However, as far as I know, the passages read the same in the Joseph Smith translation, so they can't wiggle out of that one. John DeLynn's case, I think, is probably going to be a little bit different. Have any opinion on that?
Well, I think you're right. I think he's pushed the envelope beyond any reasonable place. But what the media is saying is that the church is charging him also with apostasy, but they're not talking about the LGBT issues or anything like that. It's mostly the kinds of things that he has on his radio program, the things that he says regarding leadership of the church and what he believes or doesn't believe anymore.
So even though he is advocating for this position, there's a little bit more to the package than just what the media seems to be focusing in on.
It appears to be.
And you're probably absolutely right, because this is a hot button with the media, and they certainly want to make a big issue out of that. We're going to talk about this some more in tomorrow's broadcast, Mormon Church Kicks the Beehive, a blog that was written by Sharon Lindblom, who works here at Mormonism Research Ministry.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. You just listened to today's broadcast of Viewpoint on Mormonism. But did you know that you can hear previous shows at your convenience? The Viewpoint on Mormonism podcast is free on the internet and will help you learn more about the LDS religion. Feel free to listen on your computer or download to your favorite listening device. Just go to mrm.org and click on the right side where it says On Air. All of our shows are here, so visit mrm.org today. At Mormonism Research Ministry, we're committed to equipping Christian believers to effectively share their faith with their Mormon friends and loved ones. That's why we produce Viewpoint on Mormonism, as well as operate our website, mrm.org, where you can find a wealth of information on this topic. We also have books and downloadable MP3s available online. In addition, we invite you to join in on the conversation at our blog site called Mormon Coffee. We want to be your resource for helping you better share the Christian faith.